Another week has passed, and that means it's time for two things, two very important things. One of those is a brand new episode of Thirst World Problems, and equally important is a brand new cocktail of the weekend, so you can enjoy said episode of Thirst World Problems. Now, the cocktail that you're going to be trying is brand new to me, and I also wanted to share it with you for that very reason. That's why I chose it this week. It's because it's something that has interesting flavor to it. I haven't heard about it before, and I actually went in and I ordered one of these for the first time, and it lived up to the hype. So I want to make sure you guys give it a try. Give me some feedback on it. Let me know if you enjoyed the New York Sour. So it combines whiskey as well as wine, and it gives a little bit of a sour flavor to it, not unlike a whiskey sour. So it's kind of a nice crazy combination that you wouldn't have anticipated or wouldn't have tried on your own, especially if you were putting the cocktail together yourself. But now when you go and check out the video at thirstworldproblem.ca, or you see the ingredient list and a little put together recipe, if you would, at Thirstworld Problems on IG, you're gonna be like, yo, it's not even that hard to make, and it's got a crazy look to it. So the look is as unique as the taste. It's really enjoyable. I recommend you guys giving this one a whirl this weekend, and then pause it here, go make your drink, come back and listen to the rest of the episode. We always are here to help you drink better and drink responsibly. Hope you enjoy. Now, if you didn't quite catch the name of the podcast, or you didn't know what you were listening to when you first downloaded it, it's Thirst World Problems. And on Thirst World Problems, we like to dance. The music!
Welcome to the Thirst World Problems podcast, where we talk about drinks, current events, music, and more. Now, here's your host, Nick Dugal, and his panel of experts, B, Bell, and the infamous Doc.
This is Bell coming at you from behind the mic on Thirst World Problems, and we are doing another remote recording with my boy B and Woo! Nick.
Hello, everyone. Can you tell me who that Woo was, Bell, or do you not know wrestling?
It's got to be Ric Flair.
Yeah, you got it. Give me one. Give me one nickname for Ric Flair, quick. Three, two, boy. One. Oh, okay. You pass the test. You can continue. You can continue. You pass the test.
All right, let's go. So what we're going to do right now is we're going to open it up with a Thirst World Problem and then get going into the rest of the show. So seasons are changing. It's already getting colder down here. Fall is starting to hit already. So the question is, what is a good fall beverage? What's something that you can rely on? What's something that you guys go to when the leaves start to fall? So let's start off with B here.
Biggest thing is a Ryan Coke. No, I'm just joking. I was going to say a Ryan Coke because honestly it fits everything, but I'm not going to say that today. Pretty close though. I think really when fall, winter time comes, you have to get into the brown liquors. I've met so many people recently that the only thing they drink is like vodka or something. Like they don't even want to try anything else. So I think in fall and winter, you got to go to the dark liquors. And for me, I've just been adding ginger ale to anything. It's my new mix. So anything brown, anything dark, add ginger ale. I haven't been able to find a zero calorie. I don't know if that exists. Anything brown with ginger ale is a game changer for me right now. So
is there not a diet ginger ale?
I don't know. I haven't. It's not like I've been fucking prowling through the shelves to look for or something, but it's not really something you've heard of.
It wasn't like me with my diet vanilla Coke with extra caffeine in it.
Guy wants all the benefits, no negative, right?
Dude, I it says all the benefits in one. I searched far and wide for it, man. It's gone. It's completely gone. A good fall drink, honestly, you need to have, it's got to be warm. And I'm not talking about like it's hot. It's got to make you feel warm after. So a nice brandy would hit the spot.
Oh, God. Not for when you're sick or what?
That's when you're sick and when you're not sick, man. It's just, you got to have it all the time just to survive, you know?
A brandy with what? Just straight or what?
Just on the rocks, man. Sometimes not even a rock. Sometimes just straight from the bottle. No time to waste.
Straight to the head. That's wild. That is wild. For me, it does have to be warm. I like a nice glass of hot chocolate to cap off my night. And every once in a while, then I'll just slip in a little Bailey's in there. Little Irish cream. Just help you have that good night's sleep.
Can't you not go to sleep after you drink that hot chocolate?
Hey, man, I've been training my body like that.
I honestly think, like, for me, it's all about time. If I have to put a lot of effort into a drink, it's not for me. I can't do it. It's got to be with under a minute mix. It's got to be, everything's got to be at under a minute. It can't be like, I got to put a blender in and stir it and then take it out, shake it, and then I got to filter it with air in it and put CO2.
You got to put like whipped cream on there. Just
whipped cream on it, yeah. You got to put whipped cream, and then after, you got to take the ice out individually, split the yellow egg yolk with the white only in it. I can't do that stuff.
And our guests, we love you still. But, you know, sometimes you got to go for the basic, right?
Well, that's why we bring them in, is to give us all the fancy cocktails, right? Now, we talked about some beverages. So if you're looking for a fall beverage, you got your brown liquors and your gingers. You've got a nice warm brandy to warm up your insides. Or you can make yourself a nice cup of coffee or a hot chocolate and pour a little Irish cream in there. And you're good to go. So there you go, helping you drink better and helping you drink responsibly right there by solving your thirst world problems. Now, let's talk about
our hunger problems.
There you go. You said it. Let's get into the food aspect of the show today. And we are talking about burgers. It's Burger Week here in Winnipeg. And we're about to go out and we're about to enjoy ourselves a crazy, crazy ass burger, I was going to say. But hopefully there's no ass in this.
You want an ass burger?
So we're going to go out and have some nice burgers. Question is, though, what's the best burger? Or do you have a good burger story that you remember there? And we'll start with Nick here, since he's got a mouthful anyway. So let's put him on the spot real quick.
Honestly, I think the best burger I had was, me and B went last year.
You took my fucking story, man.
Which one?
Go. You took my story, man. All right, go.
We went to a few last year. I don't know what we were doing. We were downtown quite a bit. There's one on King and Bannatyne. It was just, I think it was called like Le King or something. The King. Man, it was the greatest thing I've ever had in my life. Like, that place is just phenomenal. It just, normally, like, you know, when you go to a place like that, you kind of feel.
Wasn't that the Big Mac, Nick?
Yeah.
The Big Mac.
Wasn't it like the remade Big Mac or something?
Yeah. So obviously this year's the theme is cheeseburgers, right? So, but honestly, I would have gone back and had some more, but the issue is there's not enough room, fortunately, when it comes to a small business, right? So in a busy place like that, but honestly, that was probably the greatest burger I've had so far.
Nice. Yeah, I got that one last year too, and I just remember, like you were saying there, the lineup for it was crazy. But that, like you're saying, that's right, it was actually worth waiting in line for. So that's a huge compliment to that place. That's awesome that you guys brought that one up. All right, B, this guy just stole the win from your sales. And
so for me, it's actually pretty funny because we go to Tavern quite a bit, you know, here in Winnipeg. So it's funny because I was there at Tavern like last week when this Burger Week started, and we were asking, hey, what's the burger of the what are you guys doing for Burger Week, obviously? And they're like, we just have this burger, it's featured. And the way she said it, it was like, well, what do you mean it's featured? What's the Burger Week burger? She's like, oh, there's no Burger Week burger. You can get this burger all year round, but for Burger Week, we're just featuring it. I was like, well, what do you mean you're fucking featuring the burger? So you have no Burger Week burger, and you guys are too lazy to make it. So now you're just taking one off the menu and basically saying it's the Burger Week burger. So that was funny to me. But the reason I mentioned Tavern is on our, you know, on that day when Nick and I went to that, the burger that Nick's talking about, we also went to the Tavern in downtown, and they had this burger where it was so big that I don't think we finished it, Nick. And I felt the worst I ever have. Honestly, in my, like, the burger was so good, don't get me wrong, but I felt the worst I've ever felt in my whole life, because I remember it vividly, because that was the day Monday or football was coming back. It was like a Monday or something. And I remember thinking, I'm going to go home and just go to sleep until 8 o'clock on the Monday, so the games comes on. And I was just, honestly, I was obliterated. I woke up and I texted Nick, and we both didn't eat from like 1 o'clock on. Like, you know, honestly, even the next day we were talking about it, we weren't eating, man, because eating just wasn't in the cards. Fuck.
It was,
so that's probably the craziest.
I forget what they call it, but it was, I feel like they just threw everything on there and it was just heavy to have.
Oh, it was heavy. Yeah. It was a heavy burger.
You know what I mean? Like, it seems like there was just no thought process of people actually finishing it. Like, we didn't finish it for sure.
Yeah. But the thing is, we got fries. I'm pretty sure we poutine the fries and shit too. We just went crazy.
Oh, for sure.
You were getting a giant burger and you still wanted to go
poutine those fries. No. Got to. That's
hilarious. For me, mine goes back, and I don't know necessarily the best burger I had, but I know, like, it was like a sense of like accomplishment. And this goes back to about, oh, I don't even know if you were born yet, B, but this goes back 20, 25 years, something like that, man. And it's wild, because we were
burgers like that?
It was our first, well, yeah, exactly. It was our first like cabin trip without anyone. So it's just me, my buddies, and some girls that we were out there with. And
this guy.
It was our turn to make meals. We're all taking turns, alternating, making some meals. And so we just got like all the meat essentially that we had like in the cooler, and put on a little bit of everything, where we had like tossed on a couple pork chops. We did like a mini ham that we had. We had half a ham there. We toss on a couple steaks, and then a burger patty that we had, and some bacon. First time doing that on the grill. And it's actually pretty good if you keep an eye on it. But so we did all of that. And then we had our buns, toasted them up, put our put some bacon down as our bottom layer, put some cheese on there and melted it a little bit on the grill. Sliced.
Is this a restaurant or is this just like at home recreational activity?
This is us at this cabin, man. And then we
bought it? I don't understand this.
I just can't fathom making his own burger. No. Best burger ever.
So the best burger you've ever had was at this cabin.
Well, it's the one that stands out the most, man. We just went crazy in all these on these ingredients, and like it was one of those things where like it tasted better only because we were actually like making it for like the first time. Plus it wasn't actually, juice. Yeah, yeah.
Damn, no love for restaurants.
Let's say the real thing here.
Love for Winnipeg restaurants.
Shave that steak. Hey, all the ingredients came from Winnipeg, man. Support local. But shave some steak on there, had a little bit of the pork chop on there, a slice of the ham. Like, it was thick. It was thick. Called it the heart attack burger after we had it. Oh, it was something else, man. Could never replicate it. Never really wanted to, because, like, yeah, it just went straight to your heart. Like, all the grease and all the
crap. Probably need a credit line to make that burger, man.
What was your health insurance after?
I could never get it after that. You had to do a physical.
Oh, fuck. It just fucking, you know, it says normal smoker, and then it just said fucking just Patty or Bell's burger.
Smoker, non-smoker, heart attack burger.
Okay, fuck, I'm dead.
So going into this burger week, obviously the theme is cheeseburgers. What are you guys, what do you expect in yours? Like, what do you expect in a theme like this? Are you just thinking just two patties and just cheese on it? Or like,
unique things. I'm expecting,
what don't you
pairing
like
of it? Things. I like everything on a burger. There's not anything I don't like, but I like a cheesy burger. That's my main thing. And
the theme is
the cheese. The cheese and the bun is, I think, the main thing for me of a burger. The meat's obviously very important, but I'd put it number three. So the cheese and the bun is my... You have a nice soft bun. I don't think you can go wrong.
I'm hoping for something kind of unique with the sauce, like something that like it's a real staple. Because a lot of times you see people put burgers together and it's the same burger you could get at any other restaurant, right? I want something that's like specific to that restaurant that they're doing something different. And a lot of times, I don't know, it's usually like some type of sauce that they put on there, man. The secret sauce, man. I want to try out some of these places.
I hate stuff when they do like when you put like noodles and stuff like that, like just like, you know what I mean? Just like fillers, like useless fillers. I mean, like if you want to put something crazy, like put a crazy theme together. Like you've seen some places where the buns are blue. Cool. A burger might be okay, but you know, it's just a unique, but you know, then there's other places that put like mac and cheese on there.
There you go. Get out of your comfort zone. So get out, support Le Burger Week. Let us know what places you should be hitting up. Let us know the best burger that you've had.
Make sure you hit a McDonald's. They got the new Angry Big Mac. And yeah.
Honestly, double quarter pounder. Like,
oh, okay, this is where it ends. Okay, this is where it ends right here. Man. So for the NBA playoffs so far, I was just wondering what kind of things have stood out to you guys? Like, I know I have a couple things that I've been watching and seeing. Let's do two things that have stood out and one thing that you weren't expecting. So for me, I'll kick it off because I know I, you know, threw that at you guys and you're going to have a, you know, a little bit of time to think about it. But for me, the number one thing has been the refereeing, because to start, I really liked it because they weren't making too many calls. They were really letting these guys play. And I actually never, like watching it, I was like, holy shit, they're not getting the calls where, you know, you're dribbling in front of the guy's on your back, and then you raise up to shoot and you get the call. Like, you know, they've been pulling back on that a little bit. They were really good on the flops. But then just recently in these new series that have started, they've been letting a lot of calls go. Like, I don't know if you guys saw yesterday, Jimmy Butler just got slapped right on the hand. Like, you know, they missed that one. And there's been a lot where people have just been getting smacked in the face. Like the Jazz game, the Nuggets Jazz game 7, under the last 2 minutes, Gobert just got smacked across the face, and he would have been going to the line with 2 minutes left in a game 7 tie game. So there's been some calls they've missed. And then something that I wasn't expecting would be just the level of competition. It hasn't dropped. It's honestly been the same for me. There hasn't been, obviously you want, you know, guys to hit shots and stuff in the crowd to go crazy, you know, with you in your mind at home, right? But it hasn't made me not want to watch or stray away from watching. So that's one thing that I wasn't expecting, because I honestly thought I would feel like, man, this isn't as fun or whatever. So we'll see if that continues with football, but the NBA, it's been amazing so far with that. So, Bell?
Well, for me, I guess the biggest thing that I've noticed, especially now, there's no distraction of like the crowd and whatnot, and like the court, like it's kind of zoomed in closer to the court, the defensive rotations, especially at this level, like you start to see, like, especially if you're watching a lot of teams that shoot the ball a lot, like the Jazz or the Heat, and you see the balls just whipping around. And then you see the defense, it's almost kind of like on cue where they go to one guy and the other guy starts already running towards like where he anticipates the next pass to go in that crazy little circuit. And at times it looks amazing when they're doing it and you see the defense just shuffle over. But then at other times you're looking at it and you're like, yo, just because the guy catches the ball,
you know he's going to go there. Why are you still doing it? Yeah.
It's so weird too, because like especially some of these guys who aren't shooters, right? Like, so they'll rush over to like guard like Westbrook from out there or whatever. And you know that all he's gonna do is actually pass it to like Aaron Gordon, who's a crazy shooter. So isn't it better to at least let him drive in a little bit and like make him shoot a 2-point jumper instead of rushing over and giving Gordon an open 3-pointer? Like it's some of that kind of rotation stuff that you're like, okay, I like the way that every other movement's happening, but at this level now, you would think that they've already decided like, yo, it's just better if we let him shoot that as opposed to giving the next guy who's actually a pure shooter the shot. So that's one of the things that kind of like unexpectedly was something I picked up on while watching. And then another thing, or I guess the thing that surprised me the most, is just how casual and how good these guys actually are. If there's moments in every game where you're watching something and it doesn't seem to be that big a deal, but if you think about what you're actually seeing, these guys are going nuts. Like the other Lakers
game last night, individual performances have been just ridiculous. Like the 50 point games, the Luka Doncic 44, 15 and 15 in playoff games. Like yeah, I agree with you on that. It's been crazy, the individual stuff.
Yeah, like the Lakers game there last night, Caruso gets a steal, weaves through traffic, has to look for an opening, exactly, tosses it up, like sky high, tosses it up, and LeBron was trailing the play, comes down, I didn't think he was going to get up that high too. If you look at the replay, the ball so high, but it was so casual, and Caruso did such a casual toss that everyone watching, because I was watching with some guys that don't normally watch, were like, whoa, that's crazy. I'm like, yeah, that was nuts. But do you see like the way that he stopped, turned, tossed it up? Like it was so casual and so practiced. Like they must have done that like 1,000 times in practices and stuff, right? And you think about that, they're doing these kind of electrifying plays constantly in practice, and you only see a handful of them in the game. And it really just makes you appreciate the level that they're operating at, even when the camera's off. So yeah, you're kind of right when you're talking about the bubble, how level of play hasn't really dropped. It's because these guys are practicing like this or at these levels so much that it looks normal when you see something like that. Like you can't just stop and toss up an oop like that without having done that a bunch of times. So it's just crazy to take that away, that aspect of things, of just how hard these guys make, or how hard these guys work to make everything look so easy.
Nicholas?
Honestly, I think it's been better without a crowd, to be honest with you. The focus is more on the game.
Shit, hot take.
Yeah, I think honestly, it's a lot better. Look at the games that's been happening. Everyone's dropping like 50, 40. Refs are not calling stuff. Look at Harden, man. Even some games, he's basically not getting the calls that he wants. He was averaging like 10 points a game during the OKC series, pretty much, right? 10, 15 points. So I think that's the nice thing about basketball now, because the refs are not trying to go towards what the fans want to see. It's what everyone wants to see, actual true basketball. So like, hats off to them. MB is doing phenomenal with it. And I think they could learn from this, because obviously next season, this might be happening next season, right? The bubble. So what are you going to do? Right. So it's basically, you just got to own your craft and go from there. So the only issue is, I think with the bubble is a lot of these calls, like I'm not a big fan of the whole challenge, having one challenge. I think you're going to have like, what if you have like three things that could cost the game and you only use it once? You know what I mean? Like, I just think, like, if you want to have a perfection of the game, like, I think that's...
Yeah, like, that's what Jeff Van Gundy was saying. I don't know if you guys saw that one. Because when Butler got smacked on the wrist, it was so hard and so blatant, but they missed it. But the challenge that the other coach made was, did it go off Butler's hand or not? But then Jeff Van Gundy was like, well, this makes no sense, because what does it matter whose hand it went off when he got blatantly fouled? So... in this, they can't challenge that if it was a foul, but they can only challenge who it went off of. So basically, the other team committed just a ridiculous foul, but now they're going to get the ball because they can't actually challenge what actually happened and made that play happen, right?
So, call was. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So I think
there's a lot of things that needs to be fixed on that. So I think overall in general, they need to, if they challenge something, they just got to challenge for everything on there. So if they're originally trying to challenge if it was out of bounds, they got to take a look and see if that was actual foul.
First, yeah, and right? I think so. The challenge situation for this year, it's still in like a trial, right? Like it's not something that's implemented for years on end. I don't know. I might be wrong on that.
Yeah, I think it's the first season that's done the challenge. Because the G League was doing challenges before, but NBA is like their first season doing it.
It's nice to have. Like, I would hate a team, to lose a game that a ref made a bad call that they can't go look at. In essence, it's honestly should be there, but it's sometimes, I guess it slows the game down and that kind of stuff. So I'm very 50-50 on it. I don't know what would be the best way.
Would you want more challenges? Or only see, more but, if you were correct?
See, this is the thing. Like, take football, challenges, right? Always. Yeah. Like, take football. Someone fumbles the ball and their knee wasn't on the ground, and the ref says, oh, it was on the ground. Well, if you had no challenges, it would change everything, right? The refs are literally deciding the game at that point. So you need it in football. But I just, how does that go to basketball when each possession changes every 5 seconds, right?
And what were you saying there, Nick, about the number of challenges?
I think they should at least do two. Two might be the right way to go.
Yeah. Because,
you know, you're always going to have situations there where you're going to have proper, you know, you're going to challenge something right off the bat, or are you going to hold off and wait all the way to the end, right? So I think that's the big issue that we got going on right now.
Do you guys think they should be losing a timeout? Just because the NFL makes you lose a timeout, it just seems like that's how they're doing it in basketball. Like, I don't think that you should be getting punished for that. Like, a lot of coaches aren't even going to challenge it if it wasn't close or anything, right? Like,
well, I think with basketball, the reason they do it, though, is because the play really has to stop in order to go through the challenge, right? Essentially, like, there's no dead time. Like, in football, at least there's times in between plays that if a ref wanted to, they could kind of take a look or whatnot. But with basketball, you really have to have that timeout, like that stoppage in play to stop the transition to actually take a good look at and see what's going to be happening next.
Yeah, it's just with the stoppage of play, like, it's right when you implement any challenges or instant replay, you're already agreeing to the fact that there's going to be stop time. So why are you being so dicey on it now, right? So I don't know. That's just the way I think of it.
Well, even if you look at it, like, you can see a lot of players, if they challenge, like, look at like the Raptors when they had to challenge for that against Boston with that dive that Tatum had. They just challenged it, and then basically that was just a breather for everyone to have, right? I think they just didn't really care about, you know.
Yeah.
If they got the win, if they got that on their side, cool, that's a win. But if they didn't, cool. But still, they just got a timeout that they could have just used right there, right? Which is longer, than a normal timeout, because you're literally wasting like 2 minutes, because timeout's what, 90 seconds, right? So you do a challenge, you literally instantly get like 2 minutes, no matter what.
Yeah, it's hard to say, because like a couple days ago in the Bucks Miami game, I think there was something at the end where they made a challenge and the Heat lost the challenge. So when they were down by two and just had to heave it to win the game, if they had a timeout, they would have advanced it, right? So it's hard to say. Like, what if they, you know, what if it was so close and you can't call it each way and you still lose a timeout, but now you can't advance the ball to win? So it's, I don't know. It's negatives and positives both ways, I guess.
Well, that's the coach's decision, right? Are you using that challenge right off the bat? Does that make sense for you? Because there's still so much basketball left. Or are you going to use it all the way to the end when that one basket might make a difference, right? So
Charles Barkley was saying something about this too, like, because now so many times we see a play and it looks like, oh, it went off this guy's hand, but the closer you go, it went off his hand, but like at the end, it kind of grazed someone's like hand, or it looks like it went off of him, but it actually touched. He was like, there would have been so many games changed, you know, in the 90s and stuff like that, if this was here, that it would just be unbelievable, right? So I was kind of like, holy shit, that's actually true. But
well, it's a challenge, it's not a time machine, so things have to change at some point, so you can't keep going back into the past about every little thing. So but I get what he's saying. He's just like, yo, I wish I had this.
Maybe he's pretty much saying he never won. So let's just throw another thing in, right? So
get over it, Charles.
No, we love you, Chuck. Hopefully we're on the NBA, TNT and NBA one day. Replace we'll Shaq's fucking spot. Just kidding. Don't put that in there.
I think Kenny Smith might be the worst.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I've got another question here for you. A little bit of a friction, if you would. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, this is Thirst World Problems, and we're bringing you that friction. In this segment, we're going to be hitting you with those twisted questions, the ones that hurt feelings, start fights, and leave you wondering, what would you do if you were in that situation? So sit back, relax, and get ready to lose your shit. So this is a situation. you were living the good life, enjoying yourself, strolling around, having a good time when you got murdered. Now, nothing that you did, you're not a terrible person, just wrong place, wrong time. But as you're passing on to the next stage in your existence, you are stopped and tasked with the job of becoming a ghost. So you're going to be a ghost for 100 years. You're assigned to go haunt someone, regular person to haunt this house. And the question is, what would you do in order to be the best ghost that you could? What would you do to haunt this person?
Honestly, I'd probably start moving shit. Because I think that's the scariest, right? Because, you know, anyone can make a noise or, you know, do anything like that or ring the doorbell or, you know, whatever, open the garage or something, right? But if you're moving stuff, you're literally going to make that person just go fucking crazy because A, they're going to get in their head, right? Like, and it would be small things. It wouldn't be like, oh, I moved their fucking TV and now it's fucking, you know, on the sofa or something. It'd be like, it would be things like, say, in their closet or like, you know, like their toothpaste or something, right? Say they got the toothpaste in the shower or something, but now it's on the table, or, you know, their cereal is somewhere, but now it's like, it's not rearranged the same way, or just weird things like that, that would just get them just in their head like crazy. And then the big stuff would come, like, oh, my phone was charging, but now it's outside my door or something, or it's just something like that. And I think that would just make someone just like, honestly, get up and just run out of the house on that one day that you do that big thing. That's what I would probably do.
I don't believe in ghosts, but if I had to play along with this, I'd probably start small, like, you know, put toast in the toaster oven, let it pop, work your way up, you know what I mean? Like, go with something bang, open the car in the end, you know what I mean? Just like what B said, open the garage door. Somehow that's the scariest thing ever, but, like, you know, just stuff like that. Just make people a little paranoid for a bit. Have some fun with that.
Long con, eh? The long con. For me, I think I like the idea of a ghost just doing like the psychological warfare. So kind of like what you guys are saying there. But if you're like, your job is to haunt this person, you're going to be there for a while anyways, just learn as much as you can about this person. Like, because they're not even going to realize that you're there. Just doing, going around their regular life. So you get to see all the ins and outs, all the dark little secrets that they have. And then just like kind of slowly, like whenever they had like a guest or something like that, just slowly just kind of like reveal like one of those secrets to that person. Be like, yeah, check their drawer. Or do you know what they said about your last week? Just some crazy secrets or something like that that you could just end up spilling like behind their backs to just random guests.
So you would just ruin their life. You wouldn't even, you would ruin them in terms of other people's eyes as well. You're a fucking evil dude.
I would love to be a ghost for Doc. I would just cover, make him paranoid for the rest of his life. Man. I would love to
give him that iPhone 7.
That's just the scariest
thing. He wakes up in the morning, he switches phone for the 5S. He just loves it.
Now I'm going to give you a little bit of a twist to the question where, like I said, you're done to do this for 100 years. Okay. You have to do this for 100 years, or what you can do is you could, to get out of your problem early and to regain a normal life, a normal sense of life. You get to go randomly to some place, a different part of the world. You don't remember any memory except for the very last thing that you have to do to become, I guess, human again or whatever, to live again, is you would have to take someone else's, you'd have to take someone else's life and make them a ghost in exchange for you living out the rest of your life. Is that something that you could come to terms with, or is that something you'd want to do, or would you just take, own the 100 years and go through that?
Well, would I be living forever if I stayed the ghost? Well, not living forever, but like have like a spirit forever. Like, can I chill on the couch and watch fucking, you know what I mean?
That's what you'd want to do. Yeah, that's an interesting way to look at it. You get 100 years. You get 100 years from that point.
I don't know. That's tough. Like, because as a ghost, I could travel anywhere. I could see anything at any time, right? There would be no time limits for me. There wouldn't be, hey, this is open or this is closed. I could see things at times where no one ever has seen it, right? I don't know. I see some pretty cool opportunity in that. If I was, how old am I when my life gets taken?
You are the age you are right now.
See, that's a little bit tough then. Because then you got the loved ones in there, you got all the stuff going on, right? If I was older, I would definitely take the ghost route. Because I just think there'd be so much stuff you'd see that you never even had a chance to.
That's so interesting. Yeah. You see silver lining in it. I like that. Like for me, I don't know, man, like a crippling loneliness. Like you're a ghost. It's not like you're hanging out with anybody. You're just like by yourself for 100 years. So, hey, I mean, you can make your peace with it for sure. But I don't know if I'd want to go through 100 years of isolation, essentially, like what we just went through with quarantine for like 100 years.
What if you're 90 and you're about to die and then you could do it? Then what?
I see what you're saying.
You have no guarantee of what's going to happen when you die, right? So you might as well take the guarantee.
That's true. Interesting way to look at it. Like I said, interesting way. What about you, Nick?
Well, you'd probably be able to go to the Golden Gate Bridge a few times, right?
That's on your bucket list or what?
No, I've been seeing it already, but I'm just saying, like, if you can ghost travel or you can do whatever you want, right?
Think about it. You could be in like the biggest world leaders, like, you know, what these guys are talking about behind the, you know, behind the scenes and stuff like that. Like you would literally see things no one has ever even thought of seeing.
Do you think ghosts go to space?
Fuck. Better than that, you'll know all the fucking stock tips. You'll know everything, man. You're good to go.
What does that matter? What does that matter, man? Why would you?
What do you mean, man? Hey, man, you come back, make your family rich, man. Hey.
Come back, make your family rich, man.
You log in on my computer, you put the buy order in, and you're good to go, man. What do you want me to do, fuck?
Friendly ghost stock trader.
Hey, man.
Working on Wall Street. Just, oh.
Hey, you don't need to work on Wall Street. If I got that tip that, you know, there's a $20 billion. You know, investment coming from a random person and you buy that and your family's rich, man.
I love your positivity with this, man. I absolutely love it. That's a good question. So if you're listening to this episode, make sure you let us know, what would you do? What's the most positive thing you could think about being a ghost? Let's go with B's thinking here, man. What's the silver lining of actually being a ghost? And what would you do to take advantage of turning into a ghost? Let us know at thirstworldproblems.ca. Hit us up on IG at thirstworldproblems. Thanks for listening. We appreciate it.
Time to eat.
You heard the man. See you guys next week.
Thanks for listening to the Thirst World Problems podcast. For more exclusive content, follow us on Instagram at Thirst World Pod. Make sure to subscribe, like, and share.